In March, thousands of students took to the streets of Seattle to protest gun violence. March for Our Lives was organized by everyday high school students who aren't Nobel Peace Prize winners like Malala. Radioactive's Aliyah Musaliar shares the story of one of the organizers.
When I saw my friend Rhiannon Razaretnam behind the stage, seconds before giving a final call for action at Seattle March for Our Lives, she was hastily finishing up her speech. Despite only getting 2 hours of sleep, she decided to share what was truly exhausting to her with the thousands of marchers.
We've been told for too long that we are too young to enact change. We've been told for too long that our voices don't matter. That ends today.
Whenever I see Rhiannon, she's exhausted, her hair is disheveled, and her under eyes are dark. I see her balance clubs, online classes, and still be able to accomplish activities like leading her first march. Apparently, she's been like this since we first met in middle school.
Because I remember at my old elementary school, I would have to wake up at like 6 in the morning to do these homework assignments that I didn't even finish the night before.
This is how Rhiannon is. And if you don't believe me, her mom, Aunt Two, has a lot to say on the subject.
The whole not being able to wake up in the morning because she stays up super late doing everything that she may have had the time or should have been doing, you know, days before.
Even though Rhiannon has too much to do, she took on coordinating Seattle March for Our Lives.
Because I saw that there was one being planned for D.C., and so I went to Facebook to sign up for the one that was happening in Seattle, and I saw that there hadn't been an event created yet. I just made one so that people could sign up and know when and where it would be happening.
To get everything done, Rhiannon had to search for pockets of time between her classes on a commute from Renton to Seattle.
On the light rail into Seattle, I would be working on my homework, and then I would do the meeting, and then on the way back, I would try to finish my homework. I would just sit in my car sometimes, like even after I pulled into my driveway, and just like have another like 30, 40 minute meeting. And so it'd just be like the march squeezed into all the open spaces of my life.
Her mom had to start employing some new tactics to wake her up.
We have this landline set up with a phone, the old-fashioned phone that rings really loudly in her room, way at the end of her bed, so that she has to physically get up, walk to that phone, pick it up. That way she will, you know, stay awake. Otherwise, she just shut her phone off, shut her alarm off. She goes right back to sleep.
And then finally, the day of the march arrived, the culmination of all of Rhiannon's hard work.
We are tired from doing homework, but we're even more tired of the inaction from our elected officials who haven't had the guts to enact meaningful legislation that keeps our schools and communities safe.
It's exhausting, but Rhiannon finds her energy in this work.
The fact that I knew that at that moment, like, students around the country were also working super hard to organize marches in their cities kind of gave me that energy. And even if we were like physically tired, I don't think we were ever mentally tired.
People have this idea that student activists have everything together. Rhiannon is far from that. Rhiannon Razaretnam is proof that to make change, you just need to be dedicated.
This march isn't the end, it's the beginning. On March 14th, we walked out of our classes. Today, we march to the streets of Seattle. And in November, we'll vote. And in a few years, you'll see us running for office.
From Radioactive, this is Aliyah Musaliar.